With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. Students returning to the Hurley School District this fall will have the latest manufacturing equipment to learn trade skills. WXPR's Katie Thorson spoke with the district's technology education and metals teacher.
The Hurley School District started the metals program about 11 years ago, with an expansion roughly 5 years ago that led to the creation of a program called Northwoods Manufacturing. Through it, students produce and sell parts for local industry or anyone that brings in something they want created. Technology and education metals teacher Jacob Hostetler says they're very popular programs among students.
Between the two classes, we see probably 50% of the student body, if not more, for sure.
Local businesses like it too.
Since we started this, Brettings, Extreme Tool, Ironwood Plastics, all of them want to try to hire kids that are from the area because there's less turnaround. You know, when it comes to having somebody from the valley or something like that come up and work for them because they're not used to the winters up there. So, you know, if we can train them local and keep them local, that's best case scenario for everybody that's involved.
Students will have some new manufacturing equipment to learn come this fall. The Hurley School District received more than $20,000 from the Department of Workforce Development to help purchase 2 manual milling machines and 3 manual lathe machines.
Manufacturing is, you know, needed just about every community across the state of Wisconsin, probably the country. And we're just doing our part to try to get the kids of Hurley as ahead of the game as we possibly can is when it comes to manufacturing.
Hostetler says the equipment has already been purchased. It will be installed by the first day of classes. The trades programs are open to 8th grade through high school students. For WXPR News, I'm Katie Thorson.
Fire struck a maintenance building at an Eagle River area business. The Vilas County Sheriff's Office got a 911 call just before 10 last night, reporting smoke and flames coming from the building at 1965 Wild Eagle Lane. That's the property of the Wild Eagle Lodge. No one was in the maintenance building, and firefighters were able to keep the fire from spreading to another building close by. They say the Wild Eagle Lodge will remain open and that service to their customers was not compromised. The cause of the fire is not known yet, but it is not considered to be suspicious. A number of agencies helped at the scene. When the industry that drives a community shuts down, many families inevitably move out. That's what happened when Iron County's iron mine shut down in the 60s, but some people make the choice to continue living in the place left behind. WXPR's Ben Meyer spoke with the author of a new book studying those holdovers and has this story.
Iron County's population boomed to more than 10,000 at the peak of its mining days, but it's lost 40% of that number since the mines closed 60 years ago. Those still living in communities like Hurley and Montreal can no longer rely on mines for their livelihood. They're the people Drexel University sociology professor Amanda McMillan-Lequeux wanted to study.
Certainly moving, out-migrating from a place that's facing some sort of crisis, like a large-scale economic crisis, that's a good strategy. And a lot of people in Iron County and other places across the American Midwest did that following deindustrialization. But that doesn't mean that those who stay are stuck.
In spotlighting Iron County and the former steel mill neighborhoods of southeast Chicago, McMillan-Lequeux conducted 120 interviews for her new book. It's called Who We Are Is Where We Are, Making Home in the American Rust Belt. In the book, people in northern Iron County sometimes express nostalgia about the mining days, but they also identified positive reasons for staying, like home ownership and a love for the Northwoods land, seasons, and communities.
I hope to reach a group of readers that perhaps have grown up with the narrative that they should just move, that being connected to a place doesn't really matter anymore. We can do our work from anywhere, do our school from anywhere. It doesn't really matter if we're close to home. And I want to provide this story as an antidote to that.
The book was published this year. In the full interview with the author, we talk about how the prospect of a new mine, the Gogebic Taconite Mine in Iron County proposed 10 years ago, initially sparked her interest in the region. You can hear the interview at WXPR.org. Ben Meyer, WXPR News.
Often celebrated in popular culture, Wisconsin's relationship with alcohol continues to give way to troubling statistics on excessive drinking. Mike Moen reports on calls to booze prevention.
The Badger State still ranks high for beer production, But Maureen Busawaki of the Wisconsin Alcohol Policy Project says consumption levels for all types of alcohol overshadow market gains. For example, all Wisconsin counties exceed the national average for excessive alcohol use. And in 2022, the state recorded more than 3,300 alcohol-related deaths.
This has been an ongoing problem in Wisconsin. In part, I think, how our regulatory system works, how our culture works, and there's maybe not as much enforcement.
She says binge drinking is a major problem, and boosting age compliance checks at places that sell alcohol could help curb this activity among young adults. I'm Mike Moen.
Another one of Wausau's big weekends is here. The Taste and Glow Balloon Festival returns to the Trailmate Snowmobile Club property in the town of Stettin. Vicki Fogue is the balloon director for the festival. She says balloons of all shapes and sizes will hover over Marathon County today and tomorrow.
We'll see balloon inflation, flight. There's going to be a glow, and a glow is when the hot air balloons light up at night.
Fogue says pilots are always willing to talk about how the balloons operate.
We love when kids come out and ask those questions about ballooning, and it might just inspire something in them.
Admission for the event is $10 for adults and $5 for children. Weekend passes, good for both Friday and Saturday, are available as well. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.